from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
He was talking about starting. I think he said he wanted to start or something like that in a media scrum.
Yeah.
And they went and told Steve Kerr. And Steve Kerr was like, eh, I don't know about that. You know, like, you know, there's a lot of people out there, a lot of talent. He's like, look, man, you look at past Team USA teams, D-Wade had to sit the bench for Kobe to start. And, you know, it's just the way it goes. And then they went back, and I think they told Ant-Man what was said. And Ant-Man said, well, we ain't got no Kobe on this team. He said, we ain't got no Kobe. So I need to be starting. It's simple as that.
He different, bro. Like, I mean, but he goes about his business that way, and it stands out. Yeah. You know he's the different guy on the court. Like, even when he walked to the room, I saw a video. He dapping everybody in practice. He was like, no, I'm not sitting playing second fiddle to nobody, but you have to back that up.
Well, he came out yesterday in that game, and he played that way. He played that way. You know, he had talked, the other thing that he had talked about, you know, a couple of days ago was he said, you know, I'm the returning guy on this team. Mm-hmm. I'm the number one option. They should run things through me. And people, you know, had a chuckle at that and say, oh, man, Ant-Man, we love the confidence and all this
stuff. He was being real.
But he came out in that game yesterday that way. That team was, they were getting ran in the first 5 minutes of that game. And Ant-Man and Tatum as well came in there and they said, all right, let's turn this thing around.
Bro, we're going to need that. Like you said, these other, we got a target for sure. Who doesn't want to say they beat the best potential team put together? Mm. They got a target. You're going to need that dude, Tatum, who else off the bench though?
Tyrese Booker. Halliburton,
you need
there.
Booker.
Book started.
Okay. Halliburton was interesting to see because definitely pass first, but he makes those right passes in transition. Mm-hmm. He can see that. And for us, I think that and I talked about how the slow start was in B, was a little slow. Mm-hmm. We went with AD at that five. That flow picked up, bro.
Do you think Embiid needs to be out of the starting lineup?
For me, game by game situation. I'm sorry, but that tempo when they went smaller, up and down. Mm. That's when we start going. It's a spit about space. Is he ever gonna fall off?
No.
It is so wild to see that kid do what he's been doing for so long at a high level and still embarrassing people on the court. Hey, he went the little Steve Smith. I don't know what it just lay up. Oh, step back three. It's crazy. If you like basketball, though, man, that dude is impressive
to
watch.
He's amazing.
It's crazy, bro.
Yeah.
Left, right hand. And I'm happy for him, too, because I know they always talk about the LeBron play thing. Yeah. They got their D-Wade moment.
Yeah.
Like the camera. I'm like, that was dope, bro. That was a highlight for me. I'm like, this dude out there having hella fun. Know his best friend, teammate gone, but he's still having fun. Like, that was dope to see Steph throw LeBron that loud. I'm like, this is basketball. That's finest to me, man. You're seeing the best of the best.
Well, let me go into the next question I have for you, then.
Yep.
As we're on, you're listening to ESPN 1320, KIFM West Sacramento on Odyssey Station. D-Lo and Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino with 17 different restaurants and bars like 32 Brew Street. Sky River
Fire.
Casino has something for everyone. I got my main man, Coach JT, with me here, 94 Feet Podcast. And, you know, we're talking about Team USA and their performance yesterday against Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about this team. We're talking about seeing Steph Curry and LeBron James on the same court. Is this the best basketball team ever assembled, this 2024 Olympic team? Are they better than the Dream Team? Are they better than the Redeem Team?
Man, I'm listening all day this morning, as early as day. It's hard to say because, like you say, the last three roster spots, I won't say bottom three, right? The last three, there was no weakness on the other team, though.
No.
Everybody on that team, end up doing something special with their career. You know, and I just give it. Now, you put Jaylen Brown on the squad, you put a Kyrie on the squad, check it. Check it. Point guard or point guard, match up. Everybody matches up. You got Stockton, you got Kyrie, you got Jordan, you got Bron. You got, you know what I mean? Everybody matches, but the last three roster spots based upon this team kind of put them behind, I believe, just by a tad. But if you add those other two guys, if it's different, they probably check the box, bro, because it's crazy to see AD and JT, Steph, and LeBron on the court at the same time.
What about the Redeem team? Are they like automatically third? Like out of nowhere, they third?
They did him. That was crazy. You had Wade and Melo.
Melo might be
the best Olympian.
Yeah, the greatest U.S. Olympian winner basketball ever, right? Player.
Just, that's crazy.
But like the way he would ball in the Olympics.
Instantly, though.
Like he was ridiculous.
But that goes to play. That mid-range game is good for something. He come in and shoot bank shot, pull up after pull up, corner three, and kill. And if you had to go guard Bron, you had to go double somebody else.
Yeah.
Melo made a living, bro. So I don't know, man.
Let me see here, man. Let me pull it up. Obviously, we got 1992. We've got Magic, Michael, Larry. And here's the other thing. Like when you talk about 92, we talk about people being in their primes and stuff like that. Michael Jordan, his prime is like, I don't think anybody has ever been as good in their prime
in that long of,
as Michael Jordan.
During that spurt, that run?
In the history of the NBA.
The number, yeah.
Michael Jordan's prime is better than anybody else's prime.
How long did that last?
Ever play.
How long was it?
I'd probably say, maybe I'm pushing out a little bit, but I'll say 88 to 93. His prime was stupid. It was stupid. Am I wrong with that?
Nah, as you say, what they say, it was transcendent, right? Transcended, but in every way though, not just on the court, life. You know what I mean? All that, it was wild, bro. Like the fits. I mean, all that, the shoes, like he changed everything, bro. It was crazy. Yeah.
The other thing that somebody, I saw somebody mention on Twitter a couple weeks ago, I think.
Yeah.
Is they said, I think it was probably like, 06, the 07, 08 era. They said Kobe Bryant. Yeah. It was like a highlight.
A run.
Or something like that. They said there's never been a more skilled basketball player than that.
Than Kobe? Bryant. Oh, that stretch where he had Kobe that 40, 40, 40?
Like 06, 07, 08. And it's hard to argue it because he had no flaws.
Pull-up game was cold.
He had no flaws.
He guarding the best defender, Kobe, the best offensive player.
Kobe was fast.
Mm-hmm.
He was athletic. He could jump over you. He could handle the rock. He could hit the mid-range. He could hit the three ball.
That's Mike, where it, Mike, that's where it separated,
that's where it
Mike,
separates
right?
A little bit. He right. Defended like Mike.
Yeah, man. I mean, everything. But when you looked at him, you saw Michael Jordan, though. If you didn't, I know something wrong with you. Mm. The walk, the bop, the little lengthy. But, I mean, everything, bro.
Is Kobe's prime better than Mike's prime? And I'll say Kobe's prime is like 06 or something like that. Like it was crazy.
How many? Kobe won two rings. No, he didn't.
In that stretch, he won
just the back to back. I mean, the three-peat was that time.
The three-peat was before that. That was
the two then.
Yeah,
with Paul Gasol and them.
And that 06, when I say 06, 07, 08, that's kind of before Powell got there. I think they went to the finals in 08. Okay. They won in 9. They won. They went to the finals. Yeah, they went to the finals in 8. They lost. They won in 9. They won in 10.
That's crazy, bro. I can't even. I mean, what can you? I don't know. It was excellent basketball.
Kobe was a 99
on the highest rating on the game.
That was crazy.
Can't get no better than Kobe. Yeah, that was wild, bro. Just to see that though, and I tell my people, my friends. When I went to college, my grandma was a Kobe Bryant fan. I was like, "Why? I'm in Mississippi at 10 o'clock at night. We up watching. It started at 8 o'clock out here."
Uh-huh.
She loved Kobe. Why? I don't know. But he was a show. You know, it was Lakers for her. You know what I mean? I was like, you like the Lakers? You like Kobe? But she hated Tim Duncan. I said, what? Tim Duncan don't do nothing. But she loved Kobe, man. So I don't know, man. But yeah, he was special, bro.
So we're talking the Redeem team of 2012, I think. Or were they 2008? They were 2008.
Redeem?
Yeah, Redeem team was 2008, I believe.
No, I would say, I thought it was 12. Eight was.
No, you're right. They were 12. They were 12.
Yeah.
Because they that was a bad situation in that that 2008
right
team. Or was that 2004?
No, it was eight. They had to come back in 2012 then.
2004 was with Allen Iverson. That was the team that was all bad. Eight was the Redeem team.
Oh, 08.
Yeah, 08 was 08. Redeem. That's right. Because okay. four was all bad. That's when I don't even think we medaled or they mm-hmm. bronze or something like that. And it was with AI and all those guys. Yeah, 8 was the Redeem team. So when you look at the 2018, come on, man. This team crazy.
2008.
This team is crazy, bro.
Read the roster.
We talking about D Wade.
Yep.
LeBron James.
Uh-huh.
Kobe Bryant. Carmelo Anthony. Jeez, that's crazy right there.
That four alone is.
Then we got Chris Paul.
Point guard.
Dwight Howard.
Now, people really sleeping on him.
Yeah.
He was a monster in Orlando.
I think he was gone from Orlando this time. But this. Oh, no, he was there. He was young.
That's
he was
the playoff. That was right.
He was a young boy. He was a young boy. 04. He was a problem.
They was talking about how they used to just say, he said, hey, man. Funneling my way, that's all you got to do.
Mm.
He was cleaning the glass, changing shots, and rebounding every night.
Here's where the Redeem team may lose it. And once again, no disrespect. No disrespect. These are some great
damn,
ball
somebody
players.
Said, oh, that was 12. Tyson Chandler, KD, Russ.
08 then goes to Chris Bosh, who was really good.
Okay.
But then we got Deron Williams.
Hey.
Tayshaun Prince. We've got Carlos Boozer. We've got Michael Redd, and we've got an older Jason Kidd.
So you have, out of the six, you got five non-Hall of Famers. I heard you this morning.
Yeah.
You got five non-Hall of Famers.
Yeah, we got.
Don't get me wrong.
Michael Redd, Boozer,
D-Will, Prince, Boozer, Prince.
D-Will.
And.
That's four. Because I think, I don't know if he's in already or not, but Bosh will make the Hall of Fame if he's not in already.
Oh, so only four. But those, yeah. You know, I mean, that's where the fall off was. But however, we know in their prime, D-Will was a crazy. Actually, he had a good run that year in the Olympics. He played good.
He did play good. D-Will, yeah, today.
That crossover was nasty.
I was about to ask a question. Today, he's better than Tyrese Halliburton. Over time, I think Tyrese Halliburton will be better than Deron Williams.
That dude was tough, bro.
He was a problem.
He can shoot it better than Tyrese can, though, for sure. That pick and roll in Utah was crazy.
Tyrese can shoot the rock. Now, I'm talking more so... Feet set, got the puppy set, and
D. Will was off that pick and roll. I'm crossover. That was when people were splitting.
No, he had that.
Oh my god,
he had that. He was a problem.
And he's big body though. He was a big guard.
Tatum's better than Tayshaun Prince.
Yep.
Right now, Ant-Man better than Michael Redd. Even though Michael Redd was a problem,
that lefty shooter
Michael
though.
Redd was a problem.
Yeah,
but Ant-Man better than him. It's crazy because a lot of people look at it like, oh. The Redeem team, they might be the greatest of all time. Yeah. I think they're third. I think it goes.
So who's number one for you?
Oh, man.
That's the question. I didn't hear you answer that yet. Who's number one?
Man, I don't know, man. Number one is crazy, man.
It's got to go somebody. There's no 1.5.
Right now, today, I have the ability to change my mind in about a month.
Cool, after the read
right
results?
Now,
nah.
Yeah, right now, today. Nah. Right now, today, it's 92.
Hey, hold on. Stand on business. Stand on business right now, Kenny. You don't get to wait till after they win or lose a medal.
Right,
who's better?
Right now, today, I'm going who's 92. Better?
92, okay.
I'm going 92 okay, right okay. now, today. Okay. And look, I don't care what you say, JP. if I see something different in a month, I may go to the 2024.
Okay.
I may go to 2024.
Ooh,
so right now today I'm going to you who you going with?
I'm still going with 92.
Okay.
My question though, what is up with KD?
Calf. I know. I don't like Cavs either. I don't know. I think he's good, though. I think he's good, but you want to be careful with it.
But also,
be careful with it.
Can we still, as Big Perk says, finish the mission without KD?
I don't know, because the world is ready.
Bro.
The world is ready.
Because I was like, what? I said, you need him.
Yeah.
You.
Maybe that's where Ant-Man comes in and saves the day. Maybe that's Ant-Man's role. He comes in and saves the day.
Now, that's KD different, though, in Olympics, too.
We're going to see.
Shortest three-point line, all that shit.
But before you get out of here, man, where can everybody find you, big dog?
Hey, man, follow me on 94 Feet with Coach JT on Instagram. And right now, I'm dropping the Big 3 series, man. I'm going back to L.A. I got some Big 3 interviews coming up, man. So I've been doing that, man, on YouTube. Episode drop every Sunday, man. Just tap in with me again, 94feetwithcoachjt.com. You can get the merch. You can watch episodes. You can tap in on the events that's going on in the city as well, too, man. So I appreciate you again, my guy, always. Jesse.
Yes,
shout out to Dane, man. As they say, champagne and all that stuff down in campaigning.
Man, absolutely.
Enjoy yourself, big dog, because I know you work hard. And I appreciate y'all for allowing me on your space, man. Always love, for sure.
Man, always.
Hey, July's a great month, though.
It's a great month. It's cancer season. It's a great month.
Okay, well, it's Leo season coming out.
It's cancer season.
It's the same week, though. We got to share a week together this week, but it's all good.
That's right, it's going down this month for sure. Yes, sir.
Birthdays all around, baby.
My main man, Coach JT, JT Roberts, 94.3 Podcast. Man, we got a lot more coming up. When we get back, it's D-Lo and KC. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento's number one sports station.
We out.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Back here, D'Lo and KC, ESPN 1320. You know, I'm a big boxing fan, and Floyd Mayweather, he has a gym, his own gym in Las Vegas, and sometimes, like when he has like these prospects or these young guys or people want to come work out or train with him or whatever, he's like, all right, well, if you want to work out here, you gotta pass the test, we're going to put you in the, I think he said like the pit or something like that, but he puts the fighters in there. Mm-hmm. He says, no clock. You know, you guys just go until we say we done. And everybody sits around the ring and they pound on the table and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, this is what I did here, D'Lo and KC. I brought my man Devin in here. He in the pit. We threw him in the pit. Hey, Devin, tell Sacramento what's up, man.
What's good with y'all, Sacramento? I mean, I'll
bring the mic a little closer.
Oh, my fault. My fault. See, but nah, what's good with y'all?
So this is my main man, Devin. He's he's all throughout the summer. He reached out to me. We have a couple mutual friends. Shout out to my girl, Mary Guzman. That's my girl. And you know, he's like, yo, I'm coming back home for the summer. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to do what you guys do eventually. Can I shadow you or whatever? I said, no problem. Hit him up a couple times, showed up on time, you know what I mean, every single time. And you got a little time. You got about a month before you go back to school or something like that?
Nah, actually, I leave next week.
Oh, man. See, because, it's a good thing I didn't wait longer.
No, for sure, because I go back next week, and then I leave for Paris the week after.
Oh, well, okay, well. All right. Well, I thought I was doing something because I was going to the Bay Area in a couple of these guys. Like, oh, I'm going to Paris. All right. But yeah, man, that's dope. You going to cover the Olympics?
Yeah, I'm covering the Olympics.
Wow, that's awesome. That is awesome. So, what's going to be like your role there? Like, what are you covering? Everything or just like a specific?
Nah. So I'm going to be a writer. So I'm going to be mainly digital out there, and then they assigned me to. I tried to get men's basketball, but they ain't give me men's basketball. But I told my editor, I said, if my credential gets me into the practices, I'm going to the practices. I don't know what to tell y'all. but I got soccer. I got shooting. I got cycling, which I'm excited about the BMX. I'm not going to lie. I feel like BMX would be live.
That is going to be dope.
And then the last one I got was breakdancing.
Breakdancing is in the Olympics?
Yeah.
I think they've gone a little too far. I need to settle down a little bit. I don't know if we need breakdancing in the Olympics.
Do they pull out the cardboard for the Olympics?
Yeah, how are they doing it? Is it on cardboard?
I don't know. I think it's on a stage. It's on a stage, and the judges will like judge like based on like how difficult your moves are and things like that. So it'll be smooth.
All right. They need to settle down a little bit. I don't know if we need, like I said, we didn't need breakdancing. You know what is this? Is walking going to be in the
I think 20... they got speed walking.
No. I'm talking the other walking. Is that going to be in the 2028 Olympics?
Oh, nah. They're going to leave that at the Kendrick show.
It's in L.A.?
Yeah.
It's in L.A.? 2028 is in L.A.?
They could get some.
Is that what we're doing next?
They could get some
walking in the Olympics next time? Is that what we're doing?
They could get some participants.
Yeah, they settle down, IOC. I don't know if we need. But look, I'm not hating. All those breakdancers that get a chance to be a part of the Olympics, it's all good. So just get a little background, man. You from Sacramento?
Yes, sir.
What school did you go to?
I went to Intercom.
Okay, Natomas in the house. Intercom is cooking right now as far as like athletics.
Sports wise, football's back. Football had my freshman year, football team was like undefeated and then made it to the playoffs and then they fell off. And then this year, my friend had hit me because I ain't followed Intercom football like that since I left. My friend hit me, he's like, you know, they was undefeated? I was like, I ain't know that. And then I think they ended up playing. Did they end up playing Folsom?
I think they did play.
So they ended up playing Folsom
like in the semifinals.
So like Intercom football back. Intercom basketball, I mean, they always going to be good. Mm-hmm. And, I was a soccer player there. So our soccer team, we nice. So.
Okay. All right. What position you playing soccer? Jesse plays soccer.
Yeah, I told him I'm a defender. So yeah.
That's where I would be. I do believe I am out of shape, so this doesn't count right now. Mm. I could play a defender in soccer.
You think so?
Yeah. So I mean, not like skill-wise, but like how people are like, the conditioning's got to be crazy. Well, defender, it's not like I'm a midfielder.
So I'll put it like that. So you said forwards like a lot of running, right?
Yeah, the midfielder.
So who's going to run with the forwards?
Who's going to run with the forwards?
That's what I'm saying. You're saying
the
like
other
you.
Forwards. The
no,
other
no,
forwards.
No. I'm saying like, you're saying like, oh, if you was younger, have more energy, you could play forward?
No, I don't. Well, when I was younger, maybe. But that's a lot of energy. Okay. That's a lot of energy.
Okay.
Defender, I'm not saying you don't expend energy, but you only go a certain distance up the field, right?
I put it like this. I like my skill level, I'm really a midfielder, but I never ran. Like, I'm not one of those dudes that could just, you know, up and down the field. That's why I play defense.
But
I can lock down though.
The conditioning there is crazy.
Yeah.
The goalie always got mad at you when like a shot got on goal, huh?
Oh yeah.
Why don't they do that? They get mad every time.
Hey, speed of conditioning, you know, I actually didn't know this till this year. I don't know if you've seen that they could fit a basketball court inside the penalty box of a soccer field.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
Jeez. It's a lot. Like the conditioning is different. I don't mean to shade the conditioning at all.
Yeah.
It is different, man. And in soccer, I just remember when we would be doing our conditioning for basketball when I was at CRC. Mm-hmm. Soccer would be doing theirs, and we like we'd run around CRC and be like kind of half jogging, or we go to the track or something like that. Like, yeah, getting our conditioning in. And then we see the soccer people and we'd be like, where are you coming from? They're like, oh, we was up by Mack Road.
Yeah.
I said, wait, what?
Yeah.
What are you guys doing? So yeah, they be running all over the place.
What's crazy is when I was probably 13, I played on a club team that we trained at CRC. So we used to be doing laps around the whole campus. Like literally start from one corner, go around the whole block, like around everything. So I remember that.
Man. Yeah. That's the conditioning to get into soccer shape, I don't sneeze at that at all. I just feel like I could, when I was in shape and younger, I could have been a defender. I could do that. Now, skill wise, I don't know. Maybe my boy Neymar might just like,
you feel me?
He just run around me or something like that. I don't know if I have the skills to play soccer.
Right.
But or to defend, but I think conditioning wise I could have.
Yeah.
And I think I probably could have played soccer. I was a basketball player. Like, you got good footwork if you're a basketball player, athlete.
I mean, yeah, you could dribble with your feet though.
I could go straight. I don't know if I could, like,
but once you start going side to side,
like, do all this, like, I don't, that's skill level that I don't think I have.
Yeah.
But I think I could go straight. Oh, soccer players are actually faster than you realize too.
Yeah.
Like, as far as like, they'll chase you down and stuff like that. They're pretty fast.
Oh, yeah.
What's that? So, went to Intercom and now you're a Sun Devil. You had Arizona State.
Yeah, I was just about to say, shout out to RCB ASU Sun Devils in the chat.
Well, that's Ramsey. That's always talking crazy about Arizona, talking crazy about the Niners and all this other stuff. But yeah, as Arizona State's in the building. I think we got another Arizona State person that's usually in the Matthews Mattress chatty house. We have an Arizona guy. Shout out to my man Roddy. He's an Arizona Wildcat. He's in the chat a lot.
We don't rock with Arizona. Mm-hmm. We don't rock with Arizona.
How are those games? You go to the football games, and both football teams haven't been really good since you've been there, huh?
Mm-mm. I mean, the year right before I got there, ASU blew Arizona out. Like, it was like 70-7. It was something bad. And then it was a close game my freshman year. And then last year they played at ASU, and Arizona was good last year. They might have finished top 15. They was definitely finished top 15. Yeah, Arizona was good by the end of the year.
Okay.
And so they smacked ASU. I actually think Arizona got a New Year's Six bowl, to be honest.
I'm gonna have to look that up now.
Arizona was good.
What you think about going to the Big 12, man?
You for ASU, for that? I think for football, I think it's like they came out with their preseason poll and they had ASU last. I don't know. And like, I don't know about last. Like, they're probably they're definitely in that bottom tier, but I don't know if they're necessarily like definitively worse than like a UCF or those type of schools. But
you guys are in kind of a little bit of flux right now, right? Mm-hmm. Aren't you like dealing with some aftermath of.
So the thing with Herm. Right. Uh-huh. Is they had those injunctions or whatever. But apparently like ASU had self-imposed, I think 3 years ago.
Okay.
2 years ago, they self-imposed a bowl ban because they knew that this was coming. So they had already served most of their suspension that would have been coming from that recruiting, those recruiting violations.
I got you. I'm trying to pull it up and see where they're just giving me this year's schedule. Yeah. I don't know who they played it. Then there it is. They beat the hell out of, Arizona State. That was sorry, Ramsey. Sorry, Devin. That was nasty. And they did. They finished 11th. They played in the Alamo Bowl and they beat Oklahoma. 38-24.
Arizona was nice last year.
They snuck up on me. I should have known that.
But yeah, as far as football wise, I think they'll do better than they are gonna do in basketball. Big 12 basketball is
That's a problem. That's gonna be a problem. I'm so upset. Like you may not understand because you're a younger dude. I'm so upset about this Pac-12 thing, Pac-10, Pac-12. It's the worst thing that's probably happened in college sports is like the realignment, all this other stuff, losing a Pac-10, Pac-12, Pac-8, whatever has been around for like 100 years.
Right.
Like, and these teams have played each other for 100 years.
Yeah.
And now it's just gone.
Right, and especially it's the worst for Washington State and Oregon State, who just get left hung out to dry, especially when Oregon State was on the come up. Yeah. Like, Oregon State was coming up. Jonathan Smith had them a couple winning seasons.
Mm-hmm.
They were flirting with top 10 rankings last year, so was Washington State before they started losing games. And it's like, now they get hung out to dry. And, like, even though they had good teams, if I'm a recruit, if I'm a 4- or 5-star recruit, I'm not going to Washington State or Oregon State.
That's a crazy situation. Now, I've maybe you might, because I have a little fun with, you know, bringing them into the doghouse and all this other stuff. But you are familiar with being in front of the mic, on the radio out there at ASU. This isn't your first rodeo. Nah. I mean, you know, this is. It's the big leagues.
There you
know what I'm saying? It's the big leagues. You were Sacramento's number one sports station. It's the big leagues now. You didn't got the call up. You know what I mean? But you're familiar with being in front of the mic.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you've heard this or not with, you know, your media connects out there. There is a guy that I know that I respect who talks to, you know, everybody in college. And he says Oregon State and Washington State kept, like, the – maybe the trademark of the Pac-12 or whatever, and all this other, because they think
they
at some point it some of these teams will come back. It may not be the Pac-12. It may not even be 10. It may go back to the Pac-8. But they're like, some of these teams that left the Pac-12 that went to these conferences, the Big Ten, the ACC or whatever, they're getting there now, and some of the things that they were told was like, oh, man, this is kind of a shady situation.
Right.
And they feel like maybe 10 years down the road, they'll get back together at some point. Some of them will.
So, you
hearing some of the same things?
Yeah, but my understanding is one, I don't think that the Pac-12, the old Pac-12 schools might come back. I mean, maybe, you know, the lower ones in Arizona State. But, like, USC and UCLA, they're making their money in the Big Ten.
They're
like,
gone.
They got their bag. Oregon and Washington, they came into the Big Ten at a discount because they were late in the process. But I think when they start to get in there a little bit more, like, they're going to start making their money eventually. Mm-hmm. So I think that they could bring back some of them. Also, then the problem is if you try to revive the Pac-12 with, say, like Mountain West teams, like you could put the Pac-12 logo on it, but San Diego State's still San Diego State.
Right.
Like that's not, like you. Like,
for now, though.
For now, right.
Yeah.
So I think the problem is like I don't think they're ever going to get to a point where they have an auto bid into the playoffs.
Mm.
Like I don't think that's ever coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Like even if you bring back a, say, Utah that's supposed to be good, Utah, ASU, call it like the Mountain Schools, and maybe a couple Mountain West schools,
they
Boise State, San Diego State, right?
Well, San Diego State's fine, but let's not venture too far into the Mountain Time Zone. Settle down, Pac-12.
But, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they can bring all the schools they want to get back to 12, but unless you have USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington, you're not getting the playoff auto bid back.
Yeah.
So you're always going to be – it's always going to be the four big conferences, and then you're going to be a group of five conference.
And that's the killer is – it's all because of football, right?
Yeah.
Like football, I understand it, and losing those matchups in football, like losing USC and Cal, you know what I'm saying? UCLA and Cal, losing those matchups, that's tough for whatever the case may be. But I always look at it as well for basketball. Like, damn. And I do feel like if they, like I said, I don't think they'll ever get to 12. They probably should have never went to 12 in the first place. Like you didn't need Utah and Colorado.
Right.
But I think if they could get to 8, and if you get Washington State, Oregon State, I feel like part of me feels like at some point when they're talking about teams coming back, part of me was thinking maybe Cal and Stanford.
Okay.
Cal and Stanford come back.
They're not going to be wanting to make those flights no more.
Those are
some long flights.
Long flights. ACC's
Berkeley over to Miami?
Nah, man.
I mean, Miami might not be there.
It makes no sense.
Yeah.
Makes no sense. And Damian talks about all the time how ACC's TV deal is just awful. It's just god awful.
Yeah.
And Florida State, the second, like they were trying to do it now,
but
the second they can leave the ACC,
and
they're
gone.
Clemson's gone as well.
Right.
So the ACC is going to turn into a second tier conference. So that's why I say that to say Cal and Stanford might come back. Maybe get Arizona State back. Maybe. Mm. So I think you can make, and then you add maybe a Fresno State. Mm. You add a San Diego State. Mm-hmm. I think you can get to 8. I think maybe in 7 to 10 years, you can get to 8. And I think that'd be cool.
But, like, the thing is
you're not going, but to your point.
Yeah, you're not getting an auto big bat for football.
But you're a strong basketball conference, I think.
Sure.
And who knows what basketball is going
to
be.
College sports, football's the money.
It is.
That's where it goes. That's what happened to the Big East originally.
Yeah.
It was a super strong basketball, the best in the nation, but you can't compete with football. Damn. So.
In football, who knows what that's going to look like in a minute. I really do believe at some point, football is just going to kind of separate themselves from the NCAA. Well,
I don't think that'd be a bad thing. I mean, Chip Kelly came up with a I don't know if you remember, like a few months ago, Chip Kelly came with an idea where you separate football and you throw all the Power Five teams into one big league. Right.
Like a 32-team league. And
right.
Just let them do what they
want. And let them do what they want to do. And then the other sports still stay regional.
I think that's where they're going to go. There's no football-wise, there's no reason to stick around with the NCAA.
Right.
Like the NCAA, in my opinion, the NIL situation was their last gasp at trying to keep the colleges under the NCAA. Because they saw where it was going. Like we just talked about, football will say, we don't need you.
Right.
We'll get our own TV deal.
Right.
We'll start our own league, and you can be cut out. And NCAA is like, no, don't do that. We'll allow NIL money.
Mm-hmm.
And then NIL probably got out of control, and NCAA was like, oh, don't do that. You, the school, can pay the guys now. Just don't leave. They're Blackstreet out here.
Right.
Don't leave.
Right.
Don't leave. And eventually, football, at the very least, is going to be like, we don't need you anymore.
Which is crazy because, like, 10 years ago, more than that, but, like, you think of, like, Reggie Bush's Heisman. Like, the NCAA used to run it around here.
Mm-hmm.
NCAA used to not take nothing from nobody.
Oh,
and then just as time went, it just those TV deals started coming in, and they just lost them. Because the money or who runs college football is – ESPN and the TV and the TV companies that are going to pay to put the games on.
Yep.
It ain't the NCAA no more.
Facts. The NCAA and they're crooks. I don't feel no remorse for the NCAA. They've ran this racket for as long as they could. Now it's time for you guys to go away. And I'm all for the football schools doing what they do. So so yeah, man. I love my college sports. Can't wait. You playing a game? You playing a video game?
Right now?
No.
Oh, EA. Oh yeah. I got the pre-order.
What you got? You PS5?
Yeah.
I mean, you can get smacked up. That's nothing.
Come on.
You can get smacked up. Who you running with? I know you ain't running with ASU.
No. Nah. Well, it depends. Me and my friends out of ASU, we were starting a league together, like 10 of us, but we had to do not top 25 teams.
Oh, okay.
So I got Louisville in that league.
Okay. Okay.
But if I'm like on my own, I'm rocking with Alabama. I'm an Alabama fan.
Okay.
So I got family from out there.
We get the gamer tag, man. I'll go to Ann Arbor and just do what I do.
Nah.
You know, I'll go to Ann Arbor and just do what I do. You know what I'm saying? Don't look like that. I go to Ann Arbor to do what I do. I ain't going to disrespect you. I think you were born, but were you playing video games when NCAA football first came out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My dad, because.
How old were you?
So my dad had a PS2 and he had NCAA football 07. So that's what I grew up playing.
Okay.
I didn't even play for a team I played NCAA 07 on his PS2. Like, it was like, obviously, I didn't play it when it first came out.
Yeah.
But that's what I was playing.
Man, it's crazy that game's coming back. We've been waiting too long. So, all right.
No, mascot mode is a little depressing, but they're going to get it back in future games.
Yeah, I can leave that out. It's good. We don't need mascot mode. It's good.
Nah, when it do come out, though, you're going to be playing it. Like, you're going to be enjoying it.
Got to get the gamer tag, man. I'm doing work, man.
Yeah.
I'm doing work. It's funny. I saw a tweet or something like that where, like, people like myself, 40-year-old men like myself, are like excited for the game to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody was like, I think it's adorable that all these grown men think that they can play NCAA football with the same amount of time they did when it came out originally.
Right.
Or whatever, with having families, having a job, and all this other stuff. And then somebody responded and they're like, joke's on you. I already quit my job.
I seen that. Yeah.
I already quit my job. It's time to go to work.
Yeah, facts.
I ain't doing that.
Facts.
But I'm definitely on this NCAA football. Got my main man, Devin Henderson, man. He is a young, up and coming star from the city of Sacramento. He's been rocking with us all summer long. He's about to go cover the Olympics.
Yes,
he's doing some really good stuff at ASU right now. And I want to talk to you about what everybody's talking about here in Sacramento, man. The Kings getting DeMar DeRozan.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you're a Kings fan, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So like,
how
the
you
beam.
Feel? Yes, sir. Like the big. How is it out there being a Kings fan? Are they like oh yeah, we know. I bet they say like the beam all the time now.
Yeah, right? they be making fun of it a little bit because like they don't get it. Like they're not from here.
They
don't understand like 8 o'clock at night you don't know what's going on. You just drive outside, you can see the beam from anywhere in the city, and you're like, oh, the Kings won.
Yeah,
like they never seen that before.
Yeah, so, what they talking about?
Yeah.
Light the footprint.
Yeah,
step the footprint. Don't nobody care about that.
That's what
man.
I'm saying.
Ain't nobody worried about y'all out there, man.
That's what I'm saying.
Ain't nobody worried about Phoenix. But how you feeling about DeMar being here, man? I know we had a little text exchange when it happened.
Yeah,
and then you saw the light after. I saw
So initially, I was like, it don't really move the needle for me that much. Like, he's a better player, obviously, than Harrison Barnes.
Mm-hmm.
But then I thought about it, and, like, I think one thing that's underrated about this acquisition, it's not even the ISO scoring. It's Domantas Sabonis is a baby Jokic. Like, he need people to play make to, right? That little high pick and roll with De'Aaron Fox when he get the ball at the free throw line.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got DeMar DeRozan cutting instead of Harrison Barnes.
That's
and that's going to throw a defense into rotation. Now, like y'all said, y'all got, you know, threes getting sprayed everywhere. Like, so I think that it's going to help in that regard. I think playing off of Sabonis is going to be really good. And then, in the clutch, obviously, you know, you have clutch player of the year, and then you also have another guy who's a finalist for that. Mm-hmm. And so that's a, you know, go get a bucket. So I think I think it definitely helps. I think 56 wins feels heavy.
Okay.
Especially in the West.
I understand that. I understand
especially
that.
Considering the Thunder were 57 wins last year.
I understand that.
And I think there's definitely going to be some spacing issues
because
DeRozan shooting the same spots that De'Aaron want to shoot in. That little high post midi pull up.
Yeah.
Like DeRozan going to be sitting there waiting for the ball.
But isn't I think Harrison, where his positioning would be, is a little further out than DeRozan. But like I said, I've been seeing a lot of film where Harrison would get the ball and get opportunities in those same spots where you would see DeRozan.
Yeah.
He just wasn't able to finish. So I think I think it's going to be maybe a little clunky from time to time at start. You know, first 10 to 12 games, they're trying to figure some things out.
Right.
But I think once they start cooking, I think basically the Rosen's going to get those spots where Harrison – get the ball in the spots where Harrison was.
Right.
And he's just a much better player.
He's a much better – he's going to finish. But I think the other thing is because I know you a big Malik Monk got a start guy.
Well, I'm open to everything. So you don't think he should start?
I don't think he should start. Okay. One, because when you have a player that is that good that can come off the bench, a lot of teams don't have, you know, consistent bench scoring. If you got 15 points off the bench, then you're doing good, right?
Yeah.
But and my thing with Malik is like he's a guy where he gonna take 8 to 10 seconds to score. Like he can't pick and pop. Mm-hmm. He's not coming off of floppies and just pulling. Mm-hmm. Like he wanna get the ball, catch it, look at you.
Yeah.
You know, pull up. Let me get into my bag a little bit. And then you have DeRozan who needs the ball to score. You have De'Aaron Fox who needs to get going downhill to score. You have all those different guys that got to score. And so you actually take Malik Monk's production down by forcing him to play in that lineup when he could come off the bench. Because this is the same thing with the Clippers, the Lob City Clippers. Jamal Crawford could have started. Jamal Crawford was the best two on that team. He was better than Austin Rivers. But they brought him off the bench because you can go there and you don't got to share the ball. You can just go do you, and we're maximizing the amount of production that you could have.
So, and I get all that, but, I don't have no problem with it. I literally don't have no problem with it.
Right.
But, you know, at the same time, at some point they're going to be on the floor together and they're going to close the games together. So, you're going to, whatever issues you have.
You have to figure it out.
You have to figure it out. So, might as well figure it out at the start of the game.
Yeah.
Real quick, before we go to break. I'll just get the hell out of the way, and we could have this little stupid Forks Up reunion here. Ramsey's on the line. Ramsey, what's going on? Talk to your ASU brethren or whatever. The case
Forks is. Up.
Hey, what's good? I got a question for you, Devin. Seeing that you were on campus,
yes, sir,
with everything going on, explain to not just me but to the listening audience the whole fiasco that's going on with the Arizona Coyotes, not just from playing at Mullet Arena on campus where the Packard Stadium, the old baseball stadium used to be, to now Alex Mariello, the former Coyotes owner that relinquished all the rights yesterday to the Coyotes to where they may not even be able to bring back the Coyotes back to Arizona after they were trying to get the stadium technically down the street from ASU and in the Tempe area and build a whole new stadium complex. I mean, it's a sad situation.
Okay, Ram. What is this?
Some yeah, Ram's trying to
network. What are we doing
ASU connection
here?
To talk
what the hell is going on here?
Hold on. I will say, though, to your point, the problem with the Coyotes was when they built Mullet Arena, there was more people going to ASU hockey games than to Arizona Coyote hockey games. Them hockey games are live. Because it's small, but it's loud and it's packed.
What is it, like 5,000 people or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, like, it's not that big.
It's an intimate.
Yeah, so it's really loud and, like, you know, the noise bouncing off the walls, right? Mm-hmm. But Coyotes wasn't getting people there. Mm-hmm. So if you can't fill the seats, you got to go.
That was crazy. And then it was crazy. Yeah, it's Soren, I agree, and the Matthews, Chatty House, ASU Talk 1320. I don't know what the hell's going on around here. But, that situation was wild that – they let him go to Utah or whatever, and the guy was like, and the league was like, yo, you got 5 years or whatever to figure this out.
Right.
3 months in, he's like, I'm not going to figure it out. I'm out of here. And NHL's just done in Arizona forever, it feels like.
Right, and they've been there for super long. And
Been a mess there, though.
Yeah, but, like, they had a fan base. And I remember, like, being out there, they said they might have moved up to Mesa. They might have moved up to Scottsdale. Mm-hmm. At some point, they had renderings for this, like, huge facility up in Scottsdale where there's a whole bunch of space up there. But, I mean, I guess the owner, you know, he's not selling tickets, so you got to sell.
You like it out there, man? You going to come home when everything's done?
I do like it out there. I'm probably going to come home. It's too hot. It's too hot out there.
Welcome to Sacramento right now. What are we looking at?
Bro,
110.
4 days ago, it was hotter out here in Sac than it was in Phoenix. I was like, what's going on?
It's crazy. they've been on a nasty little run here in Sacramento. Like, it's probably been about seven straight days of like 107 to 115 or something.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It's crazy.
Back to the Kings, though. Mm-hmm. Appreciate you, Ramsey, by the way. Back to the Kings, though. Are you concerned about, like, the defense at all? Like, that's been a big talking point. People saying they didn't address the defensive situation. Are you concerned about this team's defense?
So, I believe in De'Aaron Fox as an on-ball defender, more than anyone. I think that he's very unique in the fact that you can live with a lot of non-Keon. Like, Keon needs to play a lot, and I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But it's not a situation where you need Keon on the floor to keep De'Aaron Fox on the floor, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if it was Luka Doncic, you need Keon on the floor much as you need Luka there because he literally can't defend anybody.
Right.
So, De'Aaron, to your point that you was making earlier, De'Aaron Fox offers a lot of flexibility to be able to have a scoring guard next to him because he could guard the other player's best guard. I think as far as interior defense goes, you know, they don't really have a lot of that. I think
Sabonis is a better defender than people give him credit for.
He's not a rebounder. I don't necessarily know that he's a good interior defender.
Well, like he'll stay in front of these big guys.
Oh yeah, he's strong.
He's strong. And where he falters a little bit is he's not the rim protector, like the shot blocking type. But you know, ain't nobody gonna like kind of push him around in there or anything else.
For sure.
And that's what I mean when I say better than he gets credit for. Yeah. I'm not saying he's like this great defender, but I think he's better than he gets credit for.
Yeah, I think that, you know, and I love the pick from Devin Carter. I would have loved to see them put a big man next to him, next to Sabonis, just another shot blocker. There wasn't a lot of options. Mm-hmm. This draft was historically weak.
Well, it'd be like that.
So I think overall, like perimeter defense, I don't know if Keon necessarily has all defense potential.
I think he might.
That's your take. But he's for sure a lock. Is he better than Davion Mitchell was 2 years ago, though, defensively?
Yeah.
Off night?
Yeah, and you know, Off Night's my boy. Off Night is my boy, and he's.
And I'm not saying
you're
wrong,
but he, his range of guys that he can guard is bigger than Davion. Davion was kind of like, just like the smaller point guards,
right?
And he would do a good job on that,
right?
And you could kind of like pick and roll him out of the picture. Like that's what I would see
Keon,
after a while.
Because Keon's like 6'5", right?
Yeah, he's about 6'4", maybe 6'3", 6'4", 6'5".
Right.
But he's got the wing. Everybody talks about the wingspan of 6'9", and all this other stuff. And when Davion was defending, and this is what I started to learn early, is they didn't let anybody go one-on-one with Davion. If Davion was guarding you, don't worry. We're coming to bring a pick. We'll get a switch. We'll get that out of the way. And at that point, he's kind of out of the way.
Right.
With Keon playing shooting guards and small forwards, you're not going to get as many pick and roll situations. It's one-on-one. You gotta try to get past this guy,
right?
And that's where he can go to work on you. So it was different styles in different situations, but I do think he's probably a better defender
than Davion,
and he's also a better off-ball defender as well. Playing passing lanes, help defense, all that other stuff. He has a better understanding of that.
Right. And I think overall, defensively, I think they're going to be okay. I think Devin Carter, when he finally gets to play, he's got a long wingspan. Mm-hmm. And he averaged, what, 8 boards in college? Yeah, like, he plays a lot bigger than
he's
it.
He's like
than
top
his,
five in the, yeah, in the Big like, East or something.
So
like
he, you know, and he's a physical. I was watching a lot of his tape. He's a physical, like, you know, he's strong. So he's going to be able to defend. His long arm's going to let him switch a lot of things. So I think defensively, they'll be okay, especially against a lot of perimeter players. And I think Sabonis on the interior can probably do a good enough job because, like, you say, like, okay, well, what is he going to do against Joel Embiid? What is anyone going to do against Joel Embiid?
Those averages 32 points a game.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what is anyone going to do against them? Right. Or Anthony Davis, although he owned Anthony Davis. But, but like, those Jokic, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, those kind of matchups, a lot of people like to say, like, what is he going to do in those situations? Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to do anything. So you kind of give those up. But if you're able to limit the Lucas and the Kyries and, you know, the Jamal Murrays and the Shays and the Jalen Williams, if Keegan can, you know, really get really good defensively or take more steps defensively, like, those are where your focus should be.
Do you think there is room and space for them to do more? You know, because that's what
this offseason?
James Hamm has reported, you know, the Kings are still looking to make moves, whether that's a smaller move or whether that's Kyle Kuzma or Lauri Martin. They're not done.
Right.
They're still trying to make it happen. Do you think there's room for that?
I still think a package of Kevin Huerter and picks to go find another shooting, like, pick and pop player.
Cam Johnson? He's not really pick and pop, but
Cam Johnson might be a little too good for Huerter and picks. Don't Cam Johnson got a big contract too?
He's got a It's an okay contract. It's not a max, but he got a decent contract. I think he's making about $17-18 million.
I mean, I think if you're able to get Cam Johnson, 100%. I mean, could you imagine a lineup out there of Fox, Cam Johnson, Keegan, DeMar, and Sabonis? And, like, having to score on that? God. They all 6'8 and above, and then you got, you know, Speedy Gonzalez out there.
So the conundrum, though, the reason why I say is that where you want to go, is because Malik Monk gonna be close again. Malik Monk was
if Cam Johnson is on the team and you have a player that could go both ways and still shoot, then Malik Monk not gonna be closing the game.
So you think Cam Johnson better than Malik Monk?
No, I'm saying he's a different player. I'm saying in a situation where you already have De'Aaron Fox and DeMar DeRozan who could get their own bucket off the dribble.
Yeah.
And Keegan, who is developing that.
Mm-hmm.
So in that specific, with the Kings situation, in a closing lineup with Cam Johnson on the Kings, who can also guard the opposing team's best off guard, I don't think you put Malik Monk in there.
Hey, hold on. Jesse, you can get in here. I ain't trying to be disrespectful. You know what I'm saying? I ain't trying to be disrespectful. I think Monk is locked in and solidified.
That's twice. Wasn't JT saying, I don't know if we throw Malik into that lineup too?
Yeah. I don't have a problem with him in the closing lineup as of right now, but I'm saying in the hypothetical you have Cam Johnson.
Well, look, in that situation, I think Monk is locked in and solidified. I think De'Aaron Fox is locked in and solidified. I think DeMar DeRozan is locked in and solidified. I think DeMontis Sabonis is locked in and solidified.
All right, so we're looking at Keegan then. Let's talk about it.
I was just naming players. You said
warm
it.
I'll say it.
Nah, I believe in Keegan Murray. I think Keegan Murray is the future. I can't lie.
So Keegan Murray today, is he? I think he is. I'm going to just answer it before I say anything else. I think he is. But today, is he better than Cam Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think...
So Cam going to be on the bench.
I put it like this.
Cam going to be on the bench.
With Keegan and Cam, I don't think Cam Johnson has a 47-point game in his bag. I just don't think he has that capability.
Mm.
Keegan has that. He's not obviously not doing that every night.
Didn't he go crazy one time in Phoenix when they played like...
For 50? For almost 50?
He went crazy.
How many threes did Keegan hit that game?
Let me see, man.
Like 11?
No, well, Keegan is him. Keegan is him. Don't give me nothing about Keegan.
I think Keegan's ceiling is like, but even not even like what he can eventually, you know, grow into. I think his ceiling right now of what on any given night he can go off is more than Cam Johnson.
Cam Johnson last year 13.4. I think that was around what.
What was Cam's career high?
I'm about to look because there was a game on national TV. I think it might have been 30 something. It's against the Knicks. He hit the game winner. I think it was 2 years ago. And I think he had like 35 or something like
that. That's what I'm saying. 35 is cool. y'all watched that game Keegan Murray went off. He couldn't miss.
That's what I'm saying. Cam is on the bench. No, Malik saying, is not going to be on the bench. I can promise you that right now.
I'm saying if you can have Cam Johnson shooting, right? Because like, what do you have Malik Monk on in closing scenarios for? For points?
Yeah.
For off the dribble points?
Absolutely.
But you have De'Aaron Fox and DeMar DeRozan.
Now you can't lock in on those guys now, though. You can't lock in on them. He had 38 in that game against the Knicks. Hit the game winner.
That's cool.
38, 9 to 12 from beyond the arc, 11 to 16 from the field. Not 47. What did Keegan get, 47?
Was it 47 or 49? It was close to 50.
It was 49.
It was 49. How many threes was it? 49.
I don't remember how many threes.
12, it was like 12. It was like he made every single one of them or something like that.
I could
hear an argument for Malik Monk over Cam Johnson closing lineups. I just think that the gap in offensive production that you would get from Malik and Cam is smaller than the gap you would get being able to defend on the other side. But that's hypothetical because Cam Johnson's not in Sacramento.
Well, this is true. Hopefully he is at some point.
Right.
But you got a shot creator at that point.
Okay.
You got another shot creator with Malik Monk out there.
But they have that. They got two of them.
I don't think you can have too many because now you put the defense in a situation like, I don't know where we go. Cam is out there. You can't leave him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You got to respect him the same way you do Keegan Murray.
Right.
But, and then just how this team functions.
Mm-hmm.
Malik Monk is closing the game. Cam Johnson doing a great job.
Yeah.
He could be out there, for most of the game. And when it's time to close, you do whatever. That's why I say, as much as I would want Cam Johnson, that's what I say. Bang for your buck and being able to use the guy more efficiently and not have him, push up against guys' minutes. Maybe you do a lesser deal for Finney Smith.
That would help defensively, and you still have Malik Monk.
But here's my thing: you don't have to worry about late game who's going to be in the game because Finney Smith will be on the bench.
Right. So my thing is you have you bring Malik in the starting lineup, right? Mm-hmm. And then of that bench unit, you're hoping Devin Carter goes and gets a bucket when he comes back.
Devin Carter. Well, I mean. You can have Malik Monk coming off the bench. I don't care. I'm talking about the closing lineup.
Okay.
You can come off the bench. I don't care.
Yeah, and that's it. With Adorian Finney-Smith, then Malik Monk's in the closing lineup.
One more move can elevate that. I think right now they certified, verified top six. They can get in the top three with one more move.
Who they take out of the top three with one more move?
Denver. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I said it.
I don't know.
I said, hey, look, I ain't even gonna lie to you. One more move, they might take out OKC. I got to see it again from OKC.
OKC. With Alex Russo and Isaiah Hartenstein? OKC is probably my closing to a lock for the first seed again.
I'm not going to argue with you on that one, but I need to see something again. I think Minnesota's in one seed next year.
I think Minnesota had a really good draft.
I think
I think Minnesota had a really good draft because you've seen in the playoff series against Dallas, they got to a point where nobody could score. It was Ant off the dribble and hopefully Cat does something.
Yeah.
But now they got Terrence Shannon who could come off the bench and could score. Rob Dillingham could go get his own bucket on anyone in the world.
They got Terrence
Shannon. Yeah, that was really good. So now you got people you could go to.
I think OKC got
so much better.
Devin, man. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir.
Went into the doghouse quick. You survived. You're good. You're more than good, man. Enjoy yourself over in Paris. That's an unbelievable opportunity, the first of many. And when you come home, come on, man. Come over here, man.
Let me know.
Come over here, man.
You got my number?
You already know the vibes, man. Come over here, man.
You know where to find me.
Yes, sir, man. We appreciate Devin tapping in with us, man. And we got more. Hide your wives. Hide your girlfriends. Drake, is lurking at 320. It could get serious. Hide your wives, man. But we got a lot more to talk about in between. And it's D-Lo and KC. It's ESPN 1320.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.